I'm Michelle Franzen. Japan's prime minister delivered remarks on Capitol Hill today. ABC's Stephen Portnoy has more.
The Japanese prime minister warmed the hearts of representatives and senators, talking about his childhood in Queens, rooting for the Mets and Yankees, and watching the Flintstones.
Although I could never translate Yabba-dabba-doom.
But Fumio Kishida turned serious, warning of threats from China and North Korea, and noting the free world looks to the U.S. for leadership in its support for Ukraine.
Ukraine of today may be East Asia of tomorrow.
President Biden holding talks today with Japan's prime minister, along with Philippines leader this afternoon. The president also keeping up with Israel's concerns over Iranian proxies that could carry out strikes against Israel. CENTCOM's top U.S. Army general is in Israel for meetings today. O.J. Simpson has died, his family says, after a battle with prostate cancer. The football actor and defendant was 76. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin teachers are leaving the profession at an alarming rate. That's according to the Department of Public Instruction's workforce report for 2022. The report also says teacher pay in real dollars has dropped 20% over the past 12 years. Changes for the better at Wisconsin's youth prisons. Limits on pepper spray, restraints, and strip searches correlate with better behavior. Deputy Corrections Secretary Jared Hoy tells a state Senate committee that's not all.
Staff morale was exceptionally good overall at the time of the visit. A review of video over the reporting period showed staff regularly engaging with youth. Staff were extremely friendly.
New rules on a trial basis at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake schools since February could become permanent this year. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Construction on the Morris Thomas Road in Duluth is set to resume on Monday. According to St. Louis County Public Works, officials expect to complete phase two of the reconstruction project between Hutchinson Road and Piedmont Avenue. The stretch of road will be closed to through traffic until September, with a signed detour directing drivers to Haynes Road and Piedmont Avenue. The construction work will include the replacement of water mains and adding a new sidewalk, new curbs, and new gutters. The Carleton School District is considering a switch to a four-day school week. According to a Fox 21 report, the district is holding public hearings on a proposal to take either Fridays or Mondays off from school and adding an extra 25 minutes to the other 4 days. Many parents have expressed concerns about childcare for younger students, increased screen time, and an increased financial burden. Proponents of the plan believe it will benefit the mental health of the students and reduce the operational costs of the school. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Evan Goyke, candidate for the City of Milwaukee City Attorney's Office. Evan, you and I were texting yesterday because with every campaign that I've ever known someone that's running, there is always what I'm going to call the yard sign controversy.
It's true that yard signs don't vote.
Yes.
But there is deep, deep psychological warfare with yard signs.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Bucks beat the Magic. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks will be without Giannis Antetokounmpo for the remainder of the regular season due to that calf muscle injury, but that didn't stop them last night from beating the Orlando Magic.
It was great. We had a lot of energy, active hands, but I just liked how we played together defensively.
Doc Rivers, the Bucks went on to beat Orlando 117-99. Baseball, despite a steady rain in Cincinnati, the Brewers beat the Reds again, this time 7-2. Wade Miley, back from a sore shoulder, did fine through four innings. Today's game was rained out. The NFL selected the Packers to play the Eagles in Brazil. Week one in September, I asked Mark Murphy if he's ever been to Brazil.
I have not, but we sent, about a week ago, we sent seven people down. The league sent people from Philadelphia, Cleveland, and Green Bay because they hadn't made a decision yet. So, yeah, got a lot of feedback. Yeah, we're looking forward to it.
As Packers president Mark Murphy with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and a thunderstorm possible as well. High temperatures will flirt with 60 degrees and winds will start to ramp up this evening and into tomorrow too, dragging our high temperatures down for Friday into the low 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer-engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock, Thursday, April 11th, 2024. It's a great day to be from Wisconsin. Glad to have you along for hour number 2 of the big program. And Mr. Zommers coming up to the bottom of the hour in studio. Looking forward to our guest today, Jeffrey Hoffman, founder and owner of Hoffman Manufacturing Corporation here in Madison. He's going to be talking to us about his business, which his business is really cool, first and foremost. But also, he has converted a DeLorean to an electric vehicle. So we're going to be talking to him about that process, about his company, about EVs, as they say, electric vehicles.
I've seen a lot of videos about EV conversion, partially because of my roommate, Elliot, because he's into that.
Sure.
But also from other people and just my own curiosity, but never a DeLorean.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a good time had by all. Looking forward to that. And we're also going to talk a little bit about what's happening in terms of our 2-year public universities with the EW system. We have finally a legit town hall coming up here on April 23rd. Talked about that. And if we have time, talk a little bit about plastics in the Great Lakes here in Wisconsin as well. But first of all, want to get to a very exciting new feature for those that watch on the stream. And even if you listen on the radio, it's fine because we'll tell you about it as it happens. But one of our producers of the morning show here, of John and Gordy, Sam, who does great work. He's filled in for Mr. Zommers a couple of times. Sam has set up a street camera here in our studios, looking down. We're high atop State Street to block off the Capitol Square. And so Sam now has set up this camera, and I believe Mr. Zommers has turned it on. So let's peer out now here at the lovely State Street folks. There's somebody riding a bike down the street. We have Madison's street cleaners riding inside of a vehicle there. Street cleaning's got a lot easier over the years, by the way. You don't have to actually go out and outside, just sit in a vehicle and drive around. If you're looking on the stream, that building on the right, the kind of the cream colored building with the really cool windows on top, I get to look at that every day and be reminded of my business failures, because that's where my very first coffee shop was supposed to be. And I got screwed out of the whole deal there and by another coffee shop owner in Madison. So I lost about $25,000 on that deal. So I can look out at that every day. But the people are lovely. You see the 100 there? So just out of camera angle on the far left side of the screen is the lovely Wisconsin State Capitol. So from time to time now, we can peer in, courtesy of Sam and Mr. Zommers, and find out it's actually quiet. Of course, it's been pretty busy. And then the one time we wanted to look out there, it's been kind of quiet. So now I'm looking forward to, I want to get a speaker out there so I can talk to people just like Letterman used to do it in New York. Hello, people of State Street. How are you? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That would be, well, if it's a day like today, as Tony points out on the stream, Madison is not super busy right now.
No, it's
so
not.
If it's a day like today, I don't know that it would have much effect. Otherwise, I think we may become a nuisance very quickly.
Well, that's the point. That's the entire point.
That's true.
That you want to be a nuisance and you want to just talk to people. You want to talk to the person on the street, understand?
Andrew in Maine says, wait, is that parking enforcement? Better check where Todd's parked.
I am parked safely in our Civic Media garage.
And Jeff Perry says, hey, that's my car. What the hell?
See, there are some lovely people, probably tourists right now, some young ladies here in town for something. I don't know. Wouldn't it be great if we saw members of the Civic Media staff out there from time to time?
That would be interesting. Yeah. Maybe we can just get somebody to go down there and
jump around. I'm very excited about the new Civic Media street cam. This is fantastic. Too.
I saw it this morning. It was accidentally set to that. And I was like, ooh, Todd's going to love this.
It made my entire day. And Mr. Zomers found some appropriate. We don't have Paul Schaefer here, you understand, but we have the next best thing. We have a nice, you know, anonymous recording.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So at 1:30, we have Jeffrey Hoffman. I see he's in studio. He's raring to go. This is going to be fantastic. We're going to talk about converting a DeLorean to electric vehicles and talk about DeLoreans as well, or electric vehicles coming up as well. So that looking forward to that. Big news here today as well from our representative and a state senator, two state legislators who serve on the legislative committee overseeing colleges, universities, will speak about the future of the universities of Wisconsin on Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. And if you say, what the heck are the universities of Wisconsin? It's the UW system. All right. They spent a bunch of money. It's like $500,000 to rebrand and change the colors from red and white to blue and white. But it's still the same thing. You understand? They just put lipstick on a pig. But it's still called, I call it still the University of Wisconsin. Not to call the University of Wisconsin system a pig by any stretch of the imagination. I'm here to defend the UW system. But I'm just saying there was no reason to spend all that taxpayer money on rebranding of the UW system when it was already fantastic. The only reason in my mind that they did this is because they wanted everyone to think that the UW system no longer included the two-year schools. Because under the old map, they had a map that they always used of the UW system. It showed 13 four-year schools and 13 two-year schools. And now if you look at the map of the UW system, they literally wiped all the 2 years off the map.
It's also, if you look at not even just the map, but if you look at like the list of schools, you have to try to find the 2 year schools.
Yes. So they spent basically, you know, a bunch of millions of dollars on rebranding so that you, the public, would forget about the 2 years. But Todd has not, because I'm a product of one of the 2 years, UW Richland, and then transferred to UW Platteville. But in any case, we have our legislators now, Senator Kelda Royce and Representative Katrina Shanklin, who are going to hold this public forum. It'll take place at the Cradwell Memorial Building. That's the Village Hall in Muscatine. I'm very familiar. I have family who grew up in Muscatine. It's about a 20-minute drive south from Richland Center in southwest Wisconsin, a lovely small town. The release here says State Senator Kelda Royce, Democrat of Madison, and Assembly Representative Katrina Shanklin, Democrat of Stevens Point, will share their experiences regarding recent higher education funding negotiations. In October of 2023, UW System President Jay Rothman closed the UW Richland campus, which had been a mainstay of the Richland County area since 1967. UW Richland is one of 13 two-year campuses in the UW system, and as recently as 2013, there were 400 students at UW Richland. After a series of legislative budget cuts and consolidation measures, 2021 enrollment plummeted by 85% to 60 students. I'm going to come back to that in a second. Also in 2023, according to this release, UW Platteville Chancellor Tammy Ivetovich announced the elimination of 111 positions at the UW Platteville campus, a staff reduction of more than 12%. This included 49 academic staff, 27 university staff, 20 limited appointments, 11 faculty requirements, and 4 positions from other categories. And by the by, for all of this mismanagement for all the troubles going on as far as students having to pay more next year for tuition. Guess what the Board of Regents and UW system did? They gave themselves some nice fat raises last week at the Board of Regents meeting. I mean, some of these chancellors now are making upwards of $300,000 a year. Oh, and they gave Jay Rothman a nice raise as well. So nice job, Jay. You have now closed 5 2-year centers. UW system, not doing well. And Jay Rothman gives himself a big raise. Well, the Board of Regents finally approved it. I want to go back to this with this release saying that, you know, after a series of legislative budget cuts and consolidation measures at Richland Center, at UW Richland, that enrollment plummeted by 85%. That is true. But what they leave out here is that the longtime recruiter, full-time recruiter, who I know very well, retired after several years, a lifetime, basically, a well-deserved retirement. And UW-Platteville refused to fill the position. There's a local foundation, a campus foundation, a private foundation, all private raised money. And that foundation went to UW-Platteville and UW System and offered them a $600,000 check to hire a full-time recruiter for UW Richland. And Tammy Ivedovich, then interim and now permanent chancellor at Platteville, and Jay Rothman, the president of the system, said no. And they would not give them a reason why. We on this show have asked. They won't tell us why. They've never been willing to tell anyone that I'm aware of why they refused a $600,000 private investment to hire their own recruiter at Richland Center to keep enrollment up. So I'm glad these legislators, Kelda Royce and Representative Shankland, are going to be there. I'll be there. And I'm hoping, we've had Senator Royce on this show before. Great legislator. If anybody can get to the bottom of this, I think that she and Representative Shankland can. What do you think about this? We'd love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. And remember, this isn't just Richland Center, folks. The same closure happened at Marinette, happened at Fond du Lac, happened at Washington County, and now has happened at Waukesha. And remember, Waukesha has the second highest enrollment of the two-year colleges. And they shut Waukesha because of enrollment. That was their excuse. So if you don't think this is going to visit your campus in Amory or your campus in Wausau, go right down the list, Rock County, think again. Because they've literally taken your campuses off the map. They're saying that enrollment's the cause. So if you close the second highest enrolling two-year college, what shall we think about the rest? I know it's a drive for people, for a lot of people listening. But get yourself to Muscatine on Tuesday, April 23rd at 6 p.m. for this public hearing. According to the release, in the last 6 months, the UW system has closed an additional four 2 years, as we said, at Fond du Lac, Marinette, Washington County, and Waukesha. Come back, take your calls, and talk a little bit about it more. Higher education in Wisconsin. And then Jeffrey Hoffman, founder of Hoffman Manufacturing, talks about converting a DeLorean to an EV. After the bottom of the hour, a good news story in Wisconsin. Can't wait for that. It's the All Balls Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue. out.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is Civic Media.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 20 past an hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along. Mr. Summers watching the phones, calling. Glad to have you along with us. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. We finally have two members of the state legislature who have the courage, who have the tenacity to go out and actually talk to the public in Wisconsin.
Yes. Gelder Royce is my representative here in Madison, and whether or not I can make it to this hearing, this forum, I will definitely be writing a letter or email or something thanking her for doing something about this and listening to people's thoughts because of how important it is.
Absolutely. Senator Kelly Royce, Representative Katrina Shanklin, going to be in Muscogee, Wisconsin. And you can always tell people who have grown up in Southwest Wisconsin, those who haven't.
Because that's how they say it?
Some people will say Muscogee, which is
incorrect. It's spelled like that.
It is not correct. It is Muscogee. Home of the Muscogee Morale Festival, by the way. A great time to have it all there. Anyway, this is a public hearing on UW System two-year colleges. Coming up on Tuesday, April 23rd, 6 p.m., State Senator Kelvin Royce, Representative Katrina Shanklin, going to be at the Cradwell Memorial Building. That's the Village Hall in Muscogee.
I also would have had no idea how to
Civic
pronounce that.
Civic Media.
Well, you got to grow up in Southwest Wisconsin. According to this release here, by both Senator Royce and Representative Shanklin, they said when adjusted for inflation, the UW system has experienced an approximate $0.5 billion legislative budget cut between 2001 and 2022, from $1.7 billion to $1.2 billion. State of Wisconsin appropriations for the UW system have also fallen 38%. 38% of the total of the UW system budget from 92 to 18% in 2022. Senator Royce, member of the Senate Committee on Universities and Revenue, and Representative Shanklin, member of the Assembly Committee on Colleges and Universities, will discuss the legislature's role in budget cuts. They will also share their views about the future of the universities of Wisconsin in rural areas. Representative Shanklin will discuss the Reaching Higher for Higher Education bill package, which invests in technical colleges, universities, and financial aid for students. Public is invited to attend the forum, which will take place, as we said, in downtown Muscogee. Don't worry about finding the downtown. You'll find it okay. It's a small, cool little village in northern Grant County. At the Cradwell Memorial Building, the Village Hall in Muscogee, doors open at 5:30. For an opportunity for a meet and greet with the legislators, the forum lasts for an hour between 6 and 7. Refreshments will be provided by the Richland and Grant County Democratic parties. No fees or donations will be solicited or collected. So this is not a fundraiser, you understand. This is simply the Democratic parties of Richland and Grant County saying somebody needs to do this. Because guess what? The state representatives and senators of that area, Howard Markline, the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Tony Kurtz, who also sits on that committee, they've had a couple of listening sessions in Richland County, but that's all they do. They sit there and listen. And then at the very end, they say, well, there's nothing we can do. There's no money. That's a direct quote. There's no money. And then as I like to remind people, because I asked them, and I have witnesses. I said, Tony Kurtz, I said, do a 999. That happens at the end of almost every joint finance session where they put the state budget together. And they go around the table. And everybody there it gets a shot to put whatever you want in the budget. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's called a 999. Representative Kurtz said, how did you know that? I said, I worked for Dale Schultz, who used to be on JFC and the majority leader, for goodness sake. He said, we don't do that anymore. We don't do that. Well, then lo and behold, at the end of this past Joint Finance Committee session, they did a 999. And they put $3 million into the state budget to save UW-Washington County another 2 years, which I'm fine with. And it passed, and Howard and Tony passed it, let it through. Remember, Howard Markline's the co-chair. He could have stopped that if he wanted to. He didn't. And for inexplicable reasons, Governor Evers vetoed that out. So I have bipartisan rage on this, as listeners to this show will know. First and foremost, for Republicans for cutting things and for not being in their districts listening, like Senator Royce and Representative Shankla having a real town hall on this, but also the Democrats. Because up until now, these are the only two, Senator Royce and Representative Shankland, who have seemed to give a damn and spoken out about it and gone out and listened to people. So I applaud them. I applaud Senator Royce. I applaud Representative Shankland. They'll be in Muscatine on Tuesday, April 23rd in Southwest Wisconsin for a public forum on our rural higher education. I would encourage you to go. And I hope this is an example to their caucuses, the Democratic caucus in the Senate and the Democratic caucus in the Assembly, and quite frankly, to Governor Evers, to step up and just be honest with us, right? With you and I. If they're just saying, look, we can't afford the 2 years and here's why, and we're going to close them all, then just tell us. But have the courage that Senator Royce and Representative Shankland are having by coming and facing the voters and actually listening and actually having a dialogue. That's what representative government is supposed to be about. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I have a couple of minutes left here in this segment. And then coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour, really looking to this, a good news story. People say, give us some more good news. Here's one. Jeffrey Hoffman, founder and owner of the Hoffman Manufacturing Corporation in Madison, who does great work on converting a DeLorean to an electric vehicle. Really looking forward to that. 855-752-4842. Tom, listening in down in Florida. Tom, thanks for calling in. About a minute and a half left. It is yours. What say you?
Well, I got a great candidate for the Supreme Court. His name is William Osborne Hart.
William Osborne.
He's run for office 25 times in Wisconsin, from the local level to the federal level. He is known for civility and intelligence. He was a leftist, a socialist. In 1949, he ran for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, even though he wasn't an attorney. Subsequent to that, it was decided that you would have to be a member of the bar in order to run for the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Well, there you go.
His famous quote was that when asked what he would do if he won office, he said the first thing he would do is demand a recount.
That's fantastic.
One problem with him as a candidate, unfortunately, he was born in 1912 and he died in 1997. Wow. But he is one of the most colorful characters in Wisconsin political history. William Osborne Hart.
Appreciate the call, Tom, in Florida. Stand by. We have Jeffrey Hoffman talking about converting a DeLorean to an EV on the other side. Your news starts now. It's the All Balls Show for a Thursday on Civic Media.
Tune in to the Thursday edition of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We're counting down to the weekend. We're counting down to the first criminal trial with Donald Trump. Devil's Advocates Radio.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is expected to formally reject a recall effort against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss tonight. Commission staff issued a memo yesterday saying the recall group did not collect enough valid petition signatures. Recall organizers are already trying again. Four major Wisconsin utilities are hiring workers to build renewable energy projects. Since they're tied to the Inflation Reduction Act, they promised to hire union workers. Union leaders are encouraging young workers to apply.
Somebody could start their apprenticeship career, complete their apprenticeship, and become a journey worker through the duration of a utility-scale solar project.
Kent Miller is president of the Wisconsin Laborers District Council. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Duluth Airport Authority unveiled the design and plans for its new air traffic control tower at a public meeting on Wednesday. The tower, which was built in the 1950s, no longer meets the required standards set by the Federal Aviation Administration, and the Airport Authority is still seeking additional funding to make the upgrades possible. The total cost of the project is expected to be around $66 million, of which $40 million is still needed. Officials are hoping for more funding from legislative sources. The Duluth Workforce Development Office is hoping to get more people into medical office support roles with a new course. According to a Northern News Now report, a new medical office training course will be offered in partnership with Lake Superior College and Duluth Adult Education. The 16-week program would prepare students to work in the front office or in patient registration roles at medical facilities around the region and will feature both in-person and online classes. The program is set to begin on April 29th. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Fans of the TV show Parks and Rec have a new tell-all book to look forward to. Jim O'Hare is the scribe of Welcome to Pawnee, stories of friendship, waffles, and parks and recreation. The 62-year-old O'Hare played Jerry Gergich on the show and documents his time from his first audition to the series finale. Parks and Rec ran from 2009 to 2015. O'Hare raves about the kindness of the cast and crew. Parks and Rec can be streamed on Peacock. The set of The View had to be evacuated after a fire broke out in the studio next door. People magazine reports that The View hosts said they had nothing to do with the fire, and it was not their hot topics that started it. The fire started next door at the Tamron Hall show. Hall had to play a rerun and told her audience the incident was caused by a grease fire in the kitchen. Authorities immediately suspected renowned arsonist Joy Behar, but her alibi checked out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly cloudy today with scattered showers and a thunderstorm possible as well. High temperatures will flirt with 60 degrees and winds will start to ramp up this evening and into tomorrow too, dragging our high temperatures down for Friday into the low 50s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 59 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Let's talk a little bit about what public education did to move this nation forward and continues to do even though it's under assault.
The one place where we get to live out and practice what it means to be a citizen in a democratic institution. The attacks on public education are really attacks on democracy.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Thursday, April 11th, 2024. Mr. Zomer is on the board, dialing up some music there, alluding to what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, it's that was featured in a particular movie.
Yes, Back to the Future, I believe. We're talking about vehicles in Back to the Future here. Our guest this half hour, appreciate him coming in here in studio, Jeffrey Hoffman, founder and owner of the Hoffman Manufacturing Company here in Corporation, here in Madison. Jeffrey, thanks for coming in and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Todd. It's great to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I was reading a little bit about your company. Tell folks a little bit about it. It's unique. It focuses on, it appears to be student furniture. And how did you get this idea? And how long has it been going on?
Well, you know, the student furniture was what started it a long time ago. Uh-huh. I was a student down here, and we kind of saw a need, and I worked at a manufacturing shop and saw how it could be made. So started a company, actually started my garage, and
wow,
kind of, that's about 26 years ago, and grew into and we've got about 45 employees and 63,000 square feet. So
wow,
we don't do student furniture anymore. Yeah. But we do retail store fixtures mostly, and we've got a metal shop, a wood shop, and we can do quite a bit.
Sounds pretty cool. Would you sell to, you know, regionally, or is it across the country?
It's national.
National. Yep. Wow, that's great. Well, yeah. Well, always great to have small business people. I mean, I had a small coffee business for a while, kind of went so. But anybody who does well in small business, I mean, it has to be something you're passionate about, and it's a life's work. So thanks for being out there for us. We
appreciate it. Say I recommend it, but it's
right. I can't understand.
Yeah. A lot of ups and downs.
There are, but it can be very rewarding. And it seems too that this passion project of yours of converting vehicles to electric vehicles or EV, tell folks, is this something you've always kind of had a passion about, cars, since you were younger, or how did you get into this?
Well, I mean, I've always liked cars.
Yeah.
And once in a while, I would always kind of have like a third car, a family car, that'd be a fun car or something like that. But In 2018, my wife and I bought a Tesla Model 3.
Wow.
And that was the first experience with an EV, and didn't know anything about it. Didn't even mess around with hybrids or anything like that, mm-hmm. you know, as a stepping stone or anything. And completely fell in love with it. And so I think it was about 2 years later, I had a vehicle that was primed for conversion and started at it.
Wow, that's super cool. So one of the ones that really got a lot of fame is Mr. Zomer's played the music for Back to the Future. Of course, the featured car, the time-traveling vehicle in that movie, is a DeLorean. And you have one. I've seen the photos of it. It looks exactly like the DeLorean. It's silver or whatever in the movie.
Right, right. Well, I think the movie, they kind of put some, like a Mr. Fusion on it or something. They dressed it up a little bit. A little decoration for Hollywood. But yeah, it's the same car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yes or no, these are, I mean, they're quote unquote sexy cars, because oh my gosh, the doors, you know, go up like wings and they look super cool. But as a vehicle itself, is this just a piece of crap or is it a decent vehicle?
Well, I wouldn't say it was a piece of crap. I mean, it was assembled by Irishmen, but it was it's a pretty car. It's right. A good looking car. The doors are certainly unique, and it's got a lot of unique features of it. I think the chassis was designed by Lotus. It's got a lot of good things going for it originally, but the drive unit and the drivetrain was never any good.
Okay.
I bought a DeLorean years ago, and it was an automatic transmission to make it even worse, but it's just a dog. So it looks fast, looks cool.
Right.
It's slow.
Really? In real life, it's not nearly as the speedy car that you might think it is.
Yeah, I think they faked something in the movie when they peeled out in the parking lot of the mall.
Just a little bit. A little bit of CGI or whatever in there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think so.
So what goes into converting? I mean, is the first step, and I am not I appreciate cars. I like vehicles. I am not a motorhead or anything, or a gearhead, or whatever the hell you call it. I mean, I'm not, that is not my aptitude. So is the first step gutting a gas-powered engine car, or what's the process of doing this?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. You take out all the bits you don't need and see what you have space available, and engineer how everything else is going to fit back in.
Wow.
And there's kind of a lot of different ways you can do it. You can maintain, keep the transmission or not. Sometimes in certain vehicles, take out more or less, but certainly take out the engine, gas tank, and all that stuff.
Yeah. And do you, so when you're converting a vehicle like the DeLorean, do you go out and, I mean, what sort of a motor or engine, for lack of a better term, do you get a Tesla and put in a DeLorean, or do you build your own?
Well, building a motor, you can see
what an idiot I am when it comes to cars.
Building a motor is kind of difficult. Right. But I've actually, the DeLorean was my second conversion. And but the first one I did was a completely different vehicle, and bought a pretty nice motor. But right now, I think the best drive units to use are actually from used Teslas.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So,
yeah, and do you have to actually buy a Tesla car to get the parts you need, or are they just kind of out there on the market?
They're out there on the market, available, and they're always, you know, from crashed Teslas or something like that. Mm. You know, when they weren't using autopilot. And they were, and the parts are available. So, yeah. You know, we get them from a place that will test them and use those drive units.
When you're driving if you don't want to answer, you don't have to, but your personal life, do you prefer an EV or do you prefer a gasoline-powered vehicle?
I'd be happy to answer that. I haven't driven a gasoline-powered vehicle in a long time.
Really?
Long time.
Out of the fact that you think they perform better, or a sense of you know, conservation, or both?
Certainly both.
Okay.
And you know, not all EVs are the same. I mean, a Nissan Leaf is an EV, and it's doesn't perform very well. It doesn't have a good range, and they're ugly. Mm. But there's other EVs that are, and there's a cost associated with it. There's EVs that are fast, crazy fast, and have great range, and look good and feel good and are comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You drive an EV?
I'm going to show my hand here. But here's where I drive. A, because it's 100% paid off and I have a lifetime warranty on it. I drive a 2016 Dodge Ram 1500.
Okay.
All right. Completely the opposite of an EV vehicle.
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that vehicle for you, frankly.
Many people don't.
No.
Many people don't. That's true.
They have this. Okay. That's
fine. Also, Todd, did you say EV vehicle? ATM machine.
All right. See, thank you, Mr. Somers, for showing me my stupidity. Yeah, that's true. In truth be told, I used to work at a retail company once, and not so long ago, actually. And my assistant manager, we've known each other for, I don't know, a year or so. And we got to talk about what we drive. And I told her what I drive. And this is a little quote. She goes, "You can't drive that. You're gay." I said, "What does that have to do with the price of beans? I don't know." And I said, "Well, yes, both are true. I drive a Dodge Ram and I'm gay." But yeah. So yeah, I enjoy the Dodge Ram because I had a farm at one time. And so I hauled stuff around with it a little bit. And also, we drive out on the road now for radio. I put all my equipment in there. Mm-hmm. And it's fantastic. He's looking at me like you're burning the planet down. All right, so here we're talking with Jeffrey Hoffman, founder and owner of the Hoffman Manufacturing Corporation in Madison. But more importantly, we're focusing on his passion for converting gas-powered vehicles to EVs. And so tell me this, because I've asked this to a friend of mine who is a scientist, because I think for some people they say, well, you know, you go to an EV, an electric vehicle, what's worse for the environment, all the battery in it when it dies, when it ultimately has to be replaced, or the fossil fuels that are being burned by a gas-powered car? In your experience, based on your knowledge, what would you tell a commoner like me?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things to consider, and certainly producing the batteries has a cost to it, and there's different types of batteries out there in the market. I mean, Tesla uses different batteries than GM, and they come from different, you know, materials that are sourced from different parts of the world. So yeah. I think Tesla's batteries are actually pretty good now in that regard. I think it's kind of a matter of, if you buy an EV and you don't drive it much and it sits around, you're not really doing much good. I think there's a period of, you know, however many thousands of miles you get, then it starts to kick around and be more and better for us. Right. And the other thing people ask too is that, well, if you're charging all the time, where does electricity come from? Mm-hmm. Burning coal, something like that.
Right.
And that's really important too. So, you know, you want to make sure that your electricity comes from clean, renewable sources. Like our building, we have the whole roof is covered in solar panels.
That's cool.
Yeah. So,
and solar's really come down in in price too. I mean, there's for people who want to do it in their homes, certainly, maybe businesses as well. There's a lot of rebates and that sort of thing for people who want to put solar panels on. But I think just the cost in solar panels in general, the technology, the cost has come down on that. We see a lot more people using it for their home electricity needs. But if you have an EV vehicle, it just goes hand in hand.
EV vehicle.
Yeah, I know. I keep saying that. It's the layman idiot in me. But and it's really cool that businesses like yours, do you see employees at your business using EVs as well and then using the charging stations at the company?
Well, our company vehicles are EVs.
Okay.
That makes sense, actually, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So, employees drive our company vehicles, of course. But we do have some adoption. But not as much as I love to see.
Yeah.
You asked if I, like driving on a regular basis, gas car or EV, and I really haven't, occasionally if I don't have a choice.
Right.
I drive a gas car. But once you kind of cross over into EV, you don't really tend to go back. And, I mean, it's easy to fall in love with it, the convenience, charging at home, things like that. That's why I asked what you drive, because you asked the question. So
if I was still making a car payment or a truck payment, if I was looking for another car, I would absolutely consider it EV. I've driven a Tesla, and my friend has a Tesla, and it was crazy. You're doing more on a touchscreen computer than you actually are kind of driving in some ways. It just kind of like takes you along.
A little bit.
And the pickup was crazy.
Yeah. Nice and fast acceleration.
Yeah. So if I was in the market for a new vehicle, I certainly would consider it EV. It's just that mine's paid for. It has a lifetime warranty.
Yeah. Hard to give that up.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. Well, it'll wear out someday.
It will. Absolutely will. And I'll look at an EV then. Do you think in terms of maintenance? I mean, if you compare it to, you get your oil change, you got to all the maintenance that goes along with a gasoline powered vehicle. If you look at an EV, do you think that the general maintenance once you have an EV is cheaper than a gasoline car?
I think so. It's kind of funny because whenever my wife and I would be buying that Model 3, and you can't buy them in Wisconsin, of course, because our laws here. Yeah. We had to go to Illinois to buy it, and so we're closing that transaction, which was super fast. It was the first time we didn't sit in a car store for 3 hours to close a deal, and I said, well, because I have to bring this car down here to Illinois every time I need service. And the guy goes, well, okay, first service you get is about a year, and you really don't need to bring it down here to change the windshield wipers.
That's it.
Yeah, there's nothing. It's nothing compared to a gas car. And even things like wear items, all right, your brake pads, your big truck, you're hitting the brakes, all that stuff, you're creating wear on there. Well, with EVs, you have regenerative charging so that the motor in there is actually slowing down the car. And where you actually, if you have things set right, if you've got the right EV, you may drive around all week and not even touch the brake pedal once.
Wow.
Seriously. So your brake pads are going to last a long, long time.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah, and there's just fewer moving parts. Things aren't getting up, above 200 degrees. Mm-hmm. It's actually a lot simpler, even though my personal experience in converting has complicated the hell out of me. It's the car compared to a gas car is much simpler.
Mind if we take a call? We have a caller here. Is that all right?
Yeah, if they're screened well, sure.
All right. Sure, Mr. Thomas always does a great job. We have Mike from Kenosha calling in. Mike, got about a minute here, but less than that. Give us the question. We'll answer it on the other side. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, real quick. Well, I'm a battery specialist. The high-quality batteries, many of the ones that we use every day are recyclable. If they're lead acid, steel lead acid batteries, they're 100% recyclable. But it's exciting to see what the changes that are going on in the battery industry. We're finding new technologies that have much more density, which means storage capacity. And I think we've done a really good job of breaking into the market. Now, unfortunately,
Mike, hang on just one second. Mike, we'll finish on the other side. Got to take a quick break, pay some bills, come back to the other side with Jeffrey Hoffman talking about converting to EV. That's electrical vehicles for goofballs like Todd. Don't go anywhere. It's Civic Media's Todd Allball Show.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from our future state Supreme Court candidate, Maggie Dawn. No, we don't know that, but in the first segment, if you were with us, Ann Welch Bradley announcing she's not going to seek re-election, and we asked who you think should run, and a lot of votes for Maggie Dawn. We'll find out whether she addresses that coming up in the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 until 4. Right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Right now, our guest this segment is Jeffrey Hoffman, founder and owner of the Hoffman Manufacturing Corporation here in Madison, talking more so about kind of his side passion project, and that is electric vehicles. He has converted, among other vehicles, a DeLorean. Which is that, would you say this is the quote-unquote sexiest vehicle in your shop?
No.
What is the sexiest vehicle? The sexiest vehicle in Jeffrey Hoffman's shop?
Well, it's not one that I converted. It's a Fisker Karma.
Explain.
Well, there's a designer named Henrik Fisker, and his first major venture into having his own car company was a Fisker Karma about maybe 11, 12, 13 years ago or so. And It's mostly an EV. It's an extended range EV.
Okay.
So it's got batteries and motors and stuff like that. And then, but there's a little gasoline engine in front, and that acts as a generator.
Oh, okay.
So the range stinks on the electric. It might get 40 miles, but then the generator kicks in seamlessly and charges the batteries.
Wow. Very
so it's cool. It's very similar to like the Chevy Volt.
Okay.
The older one.
Very cool.
Yeah, but if you got to look at pictures of that, it's sexy.
EV could be sexy. Talking with Jeffrey Hoffman here. Also on the line, Mike from Kenosha, listening on our affiliate at WRJN Racine Kenosha. Mike, sorry I had to cut you off here. You are a battery specialist. What you wanted to finish up with your thoughts on EVs. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple things real quick. First of all, internal combustion engines, and I'm talking, 1900s or so, they were kind of identified to go in the way of the wayside. Electric vehicles, even back around the turn of the century, were outperforming and doing a very good job. They had the removal and replacement time down to 15 minutes in Chicago, Boston, and some other markets that embraced the electric technology. Most locomotives were electric back in the day. But really, I think, there's all kinds of benefits, but I want to throw out there one that most people neglect to bring up when we're having this conversation. And that is, we don't have to have a seventh fleet monitoring the Persian Gulf for battery technology.
Okay.
Okay. And so in other words, if we were to convert much of our transportation into electric, and include the nukes, include, all renewable and clean energy, and nukes are clean if they're done right.
No, that's true.
Most universities, by the way, across our country, most big hospitals have small nuclear facilities at the place. So, again, we don't have wars. We don't have political strife when we have the energy you know, on our roofs and in our backyards.
Appreciate the call, Mike.
So that's really, I think, the long-term benefit.
Appreciate the call, Mike. Thank you so much. So Mike and Kenosha there. What say you, Jeffrey, on, I mean, where, as far as, look, Mr. Sommers brought up for our viewers on the StreamYard there. That is a sexy car, by the way.
Yeah, that.
Which one is that again?
That's the Fisker Karma.
That's a great car. That is a very great car. But to the caller's point there, Jeffrey, what do you, I mean, the materials for the batteries have to come someplace if we're not doing oil in the Middle East or and of course, the U.S. has had all-time oil production as well. But do you agree with that point that it's just globally better electric as well?
I certainly do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know how much we want to get into.
Go ahead. Whatever you want.
Those aspects. Yeah. But yeah, completely. I mean, energy independence, when you think about that, it's, mm-hmm. it's, and especially the way the technology is improved so much, the amount of the types of materials that can be made used to make the batteries is changing and evolving. So mm-hmm. what we see right now is going to be nothing compared to the near future, I think.
So address something that I know a lot of lay people, this came up over the past winter. It got political, and you can get as political or non-political as you want. I don't care. But there were charges that, oh, and the cold is really cold weather that electric vehicles are dying alongside the road, and they're no good when it comes to cold. Is that fallacy or is that truth or somewhere in between?
Maybe somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. There's whenever it's 0 degrees, or really under 30 for that matter, it limits the it limits that battery quite a bit. Like mm-hmm. Your range can drop in half. Mm-hmm. And just like if you're towing, I mean, I've got a large SUV that's electric, and when I tow another car or something like that, my range drops to about a third to half. Mm-hmm. So you just have to plan for that.
Here's another non-EV person question. I go to Culver's a lot. People know I love Culver's of the show. And I stop at the one in Mauston frequently, and they have, like, I don't know, 6 or 8 charging stations that say Tesla on them. Mm-hmm. So are those only for Tesla vehicles, or can any EV charge at one of those Tesla charging stations at Culver's?
Well, that's a huge issue, because mm-hmm. that's our infrastructure. And it's, first of all, though, it's really important to recognize that that only matters if you drive far away from home. Mm-hmm. All right? If you got an EV and it's got a short range or something like that, it's not very expensive, and you never leave Dane County, you don't need that infrastructure. Charge right. at home. Mm-hmm. As far as the Tesla superchargers, yeah, they are only for Teslas right now.
Okay.
But that's changing. I've got they're only for Teslas, but there's so many of them, all right? Right? So if I go on a vacation to Door County, right, there's 4 Tesla superchargers on the way.
Yeah.
Plenty. Yeah. Right. And if I take a non-Tesla EV, there's 0. I mean, there might be a few that are owned by a car dealership and they're not very fast, but essentially there's 0. So right now the Teslas are only superchargers, they're only for Teslas. And that's changing. Sometime this month, Rivian is supposed to be able to get onto the supercharger network.
Oh, wow.
And then Ford is supposed to be on there now, but they're kind of slowly distributing the adapters. Mm-hmm. So that's dramatic. It's huge for anybody that doesn't have a Tesla to be able to use that network, because it's second to none. I mean, it makes a road trip happen or not.
But 2 minutes left here. It always goes too fast. Talking to Jeffrey Hoffman, founder and owner of Apart. Oh, thank you. In the 1 minute we have left here, Jeffrey, for the average person looking to consider an electric vehicle, what would be your recommendation?
Which car?
Yeah.
Oh.
Top one or two.
Tesla. Right. Definitely Tesla. So, yeah. You get the supercharger network. They hold their value somewhat well, and they're super fast, super cool. Interface is great.
That's awesome.
They're fantastic.
Jeffrey Hoffman, we appreciate being here. I learned something. Our viewers and listeners did as well. Thank you so much for coming in.
It was a good time.
Really appreciate it. Thanks to Mr. Zomers and to all of our listeners as well. We'll see you tomorrow. Stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Friday on Matt Nair on Air, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer at 10:33. In the 11 o'clock hour, all thanks entertainment with Nightlights Pete Schwabba. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air.
So we're going to talk monarch butterflies and what we can do to help their habitat, because that's one of the biggest reasons why we're seeing our monarch population decrease. As Greg said, we know how much I loved Winged Thingies.
Winged Thingies! That's the name of our band. Calvin, me, Jane, Winged Thingies.
The Winged Thingies.
Matinee on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM. W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The U.S. CENTCOM commander heading to Israel for talks as the U.S. warns Iran is planning possible.